Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. This is episode 103. Today, we caught up with Jill Naus. Jill is Portland, Oregon's best yoga teacher. She is dedicated to helping students and teachers discover what makes them feel truly alive. She leads yoga retreats all over the world, does workshops and conferences, and we get to talk to her today about what lights her up and what makes her an amazing human being.
Because I think it's really important, and I think that for what we do as teachers, it's always important to be able to show up to create a great space for people. But for me, I'm more concerned as far as, you know, being in a teacher's care, like yourself. I want to feel like the person that I'm with is being real.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like what we look for just in general is depth. Right? Like as humans, like we just look for that depth. So what do you think about all that?
Well, I think it's, it feels really good to hear you say that you have that, like it'll make my eyes bubble up, you know, I'm a frequent crier program right here, but because it is really important to me that people feel seen in a real way. And I try as best that I can to be honest about where I am in a particular moment, not necessarily lugging my baggage into the space, but being honest and transparent, because we're all in this experience together. And I think that the more that we can be seen, the more we can see others and vice versa. It just opens the door of communication, even if it's nonverbal. So I really try to embody, I feel like authenticity is such a highly used word right now, and finding your voice is such a commonly used phrase right now, but I really do try to show up in the most real way that I possibly can, and I think that allows people to be more open with each other.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I can see that. And one of the big things that you strive for, and you know, me being part of your community, you know, feeling like you've worked really hard to create this amazing community, or not so much to create it, but to allow the opportunity for us to create a really strong sangha, right? A really strong community that feels supported, and I think that's something that's not practiced enough, right? We don't really give too much importance around building community or building each other up.
Right?
Because it's...
As I think we're our own worst critics. We were just talking about that before. We can be our own worst critics. And there's a lot of power in someone else believing in us and even setting the standard higher than we might set for ourselves. And 99.9% of the time, we will achieve the expectations or the belief mm-hmm. that someone else sets on us. It sort of expands the possibility of what we can accomplish. And so I really try to see that in people. And I guess my focus is going from students in my class to even the teachers that I coach and mentor and in teacher trainings and things like that, but to really see their potential. And we all have fear and we all have self-doubt and self-limiting beliefs, but I can put the hat on of more of a coach and see the possibility and the potential that maybe they can't see in themselves. And the same goes for me. I mean, I have coaches that help me in that way too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's easy to go into the samskaras or the patterns, the habitual patterns of the stories that we tell and limit ourselves from what our potential is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. And can you talk to us a little bit more about Elevate trainings? Because I have a handful of friends that have gone through your trainings and they speak really highly of them. And I know you. And so I know the type of work that you're doing with these people. And I just think it's such an incredible thing for you to be providing these teachers and just people in general with that sense of encouragement, right? So like you have these trainings that are built up around all these things that you're talking about, building people up. Mm-hmm. So what kind of prompted you to start that?
Well, it was really directly as a result of something that I felt I needed. And so, I was kind of letting the teaching be my teacher, really, as I continue to do. It helps me to grow every single time I lead one of these programs. But really, it was, even after teaching, I started Elevate Trainings. The idea was being born in 2012. And so I had been teaching already for six or seven years. I started teaching in 2006. And when I was done with training, it was kind of like, off you go, just like kind of yeah. get booted like a robin, booted out of the nest, and I barely could even fly. So I wished that there was a place where people could come together and have a community that was really supportive, that was really honest. Again, that had those elements of transparency and vulnerability so that it was okay to come in and say, you know what? I get scared every time I teach, or I'm still doing the I shoulds and not really speaking from my heart or from a really rooted place. So these things were okay to be talked about, but then also, the training that I went through, and most of us have this experience that a 200-hour just barely scratches the surface of anything. We get an introduction to a lot, and I definitely felt ready to teach, but there was so much learning still to be done. And I knew it was going to be a lifetime of learning, but this was something that would dive more deeply into particular topics. And I don't claim to be anybody's guru, and I don't claim to know everything about everything I feel like the more that I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And so in the case of Elevate, what I felt would really serve the community was to have experts in different areas come in and really give a broad and wide array of teachings. And so I was able to connect with some great teachers and bring them in the areas where they're really, really very passionate and uniquely skilled in delivering the information. So that's kind of what it was. So it was first the container, and I don't have any kids, but like I will hold people and I can't help it. And I want to hold everybody and like get, that might sound so strange. That sounds really, really strange. But I feel that I have a very maternal instinct that my nature is to serve in that way and to really, I do a lot of things within Elevate. I ask the hard questions, but then I'm there to sort of hold the space for the reaction, response, and results of those hard questions. And so it's really kind of a coaching relationship, and I think a lot of really good work is done there. So anyway, that's long answer to a short question, yeah. But it's been kind of, you know, it's been 3 years now, and it's been five graduating classes and just a lot of transformation, not only for them, but for me and everyone that touches the program. All the different teachers that come in from all the different studios in Portland and outside of Portland. I've had people from the Phoenix area, New York City, and other teachers come in and share what they're most passionate about. But we all grow, and that's why it was some divine download in 2012 that was like, it's elevate, you know, and then it really is. Everybody that touches the program sort of elevates together, and it's been a pretty magical experience for me.
Maybe you could be the Portland hugging saint.
I will. Just put a little sign up.
That's a,
needs a hug.
What do you think have been the two biggest catalysts of change for you in your life?
Catalysts for change. I'm not exactly sure what the catalyst was for. I mean, it was definitely a discomfort in my life that led me to switch gears and get out of the corporate world and move to Portland and seek out another career path that was more heart-centered and more passion-driven. But so the catalyst was discomfort or unhappiness or dis-ease in my body and in my soul, really. But then those sensations in my body and a knowing that something was really off, I started listening to my heart and I started trusting intuition, even when it was guiding me in ways that I couldn't understand at the time. And it was like, you need to take a step. And it was just one step at a time. Like, I can look back now and be like, oh, it was so beautifully planned, but it was not. And there were moments of very painful, you know, ramifications from it. Like, you know, you might lose your house. And you know what I mean? Like, those things happen for sure. But in San Francisco, when I was working in the corporate world, toward the end of my career there, I was very, very, feeling very unhappy, feeling very unsatisfied, definitely not aligned with any kind of dharma or soul work. And then the other thing I would say that was a real catalyst or turning point for me was getting coaching, spiritual and business coaching. And that changed everything because, like I said, someone else was believing in me and asking the hard questions and then sticking around to be there to encourage and continue to hold me accountable to the things that were really important to me that I had shared as my values. So coaching, spiritual, and business really accelerated. It was, I started coaching in 2012, and that's what led me to the creation of Elevate and all the things that I've done as a result of that. For me, it was to explore that more deeply. So whatever that means to you, it doesn't mean you have to go and quit your job. I didn't do it that dramatically either. You know,
I did.
Like, you know, good for you. I think that if you really, so right now I'm in a very sort of spiritual place in my own personal practice. So the first thing I would say is get quiet, because there's so much noise out there. And there's, you know, all the things that we do to distract ourselves from that download is coming through for a reason. And we push it away. And I pushed it away for a very long time. I mean, I pushed it away long enough to be really overweight and feeling really crappy and my body hurt. And, you know, like so what happens is you get the results of pushing it away.
Right.
And that's to kind of go deeper into the hole. Usually for me, it was, I'll speak for myself, but
I can speak to that as yeah, well.
Right. It happens. Yeah. And so I didn't, and also sometimes it's a lack of awareness. I didn't know what the messages were that were coming through. But, when I started just listening to each one individually, instead of like I would slow down, get a little quiet, whether that's meditation for you or walking in nature or, you know, whatever. And then listen and observe yourself. Because when you observe yourself, you see what is the sort of hamster wheel of thoughts. And then you start to connect more with what's real. So that's the first thing I would say is get quiet and start to explore it in a way that feels comfortable to you, because it doesn't have to be really dramatic. It doesn't have to be really scary. It doesn't have to be turning your world upside down. But finding the things that are calling to you. Like for me, it was a sense of wellness. And a sense of wellness, the first step for that for me was physical. So I immediately was, as soon as I got to Portland, I was turning my life around. So it was somewhat dramatic, but I still had my job. I was working out, I was doing yoga, I was getting quiet, I was doing breath work and that kind of thing. And it sort of all led me, if I just took one little step and one little step and one little step, all of a sudden I'm in teacher training, I'm in massage school, I'm converting my garage into a studio, you know what I mean? Like that was, you know, the path of right. a couple of years of this listening and following, and then it's that next step, and then it's that next step. And I think the important thing to remember is that there's no failure or success, that it's all, we're always on the path, and there's no way to step off the path. You're yeah. on your path. You might have a little detour.
Yeah.
Or two.
No, I totally agree with that, because I think and feel the same way, that there is no right or wrong, right? It's like, even if you feel like you're going to make a mistake, it's not a mistake. You know, whatever happens is your medicine for that moment.
And especially if you can be present and, again, a witness to the teachings that come from it, because everything is an opportunity to be an observer and to gather more information about who we are. And the more that we can settle into a sense of acceptance of ourselves, like, the more that everyone around us, everything we touch benefits from that. It kind of brings me back to the authenticity again, and just trying to be really transparent.
Yeah, I think that's huge, because I think that in our world with what we do, I think that it's a key.
Yeah.
You know, because being able to be transparent and be real with people. And again, it's like you said, it's not about bringing our own shit into the studio or bringing our own shit into the people that we work with. It's really just about showing up and mm-hmm. being present with the other.
Right.
Right. And I think that that's, again, something that you do quite beautifully. And I appreciate that, because I feel that you are a great example of it, you know. One of the things I want to talk to you about, because we're friends, and I want to know. So, you know, I'm in the middle of writing this thing, and I have to write about failure, right? And I have such a huge hang up with it because even that word failure, like, irks me.
Yeah.
Like, it literally makes me feel like icky. Like, I don't use that word mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I think back of my life and I'm like, I can't really say that I failed anything.
Well, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that you see it that way.
Yeah, but in my mind, it's like, there's been things that have not worked. Oh yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes for sure. But I can't really say that I feel like I've failed at something, because again, maybe it's my perspective and maybe it's just the way that I grew up, you know, just being able to, like, you know, overcome adversity and, like, just keep going. Like, I was always taught to just, you keep going. Like, there's, if something doesn't work, try another way and just keep going. So this has been something that's been kind of ingrained. And so when I'm asked about my feeling on failure, it's like, well, I don't want to fail.
Right.
That's the number one thing. And perhaps it's my aversion to that failing, that maybe it's my big fear. So I do everything in my power to not go there. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm interested in just, you know, you as a friend of mine, like, what is my problem?
You're hilarious. Like, I think it's beautiful. Like, I'm trying to untrain that conditioned mind that has been sort of conditioned that there was a failure. Like, I think it's beautiful. I think that we need to move into the space where you are. That there's nothing wrong with you, if I'm answering your question right. I feel like, you know, it was a topic of a teaching session that I had recently, and it was exactly that, success and failure, and that this is conditioning through even school, like when we're little kids, and like, you know, we have to do this and do this right and according to this, or we fail, you know, and so we're all conditioned in that way. I'm trying to begin to move more from that space of, it's what I just said, how we kind of led into this, is that there are no failures. This is information that is giving us more clarity and alignment on our path. I think anytime we hit up against walls, and you're going to continue to hit up against them, and that resistance, eventually it's going to hurt, right? And you switch gears. And so you start moving towards something that is in the flow more, instead of swimming up the river.
Right.
You can't fail. So you're...
Well, no, and I say, I guess the caveat to, so I don't sound like a pompous asshole, is the person that I had to submit this writing to, I explained, well, I kind of don't really have a relationship to this. Yeah, there's something about it where I'm like, maybe it's, again, it's this thought where I'm like, I just don't go there. That's just not my belief. I just don't believe that anything...
Was it kind of where in your life have you failed?
Right. Yeah. and it was just kind of like, oh God, like I can't think of anything. but I can think of a lot of things, and I've been sort of reeling over this thing, and it's kind of messed up, because it really makes me think of all the things that have gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Because don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff that's gone wrong, and there's a lot of mistakes that I've made, and there's a lot of things that I wish that I could undo. There's a lot of things that I've said that I wish I wouldn't have said, and there's people that I've hurt that I wish I would have never hurt, and I wish that there was, you know, a lot of different things, but I can't take them back, and again, I'm not going to harbor them. So, you know, I don't know that I can really speak to that in a real like belief way, and maybe I'm just in denial, you know, like
no. But I also think that those are our biggest teachers, those experiences. Like if everything was just coasting along and we were just having this, it would kind of, everything would just blur together. Like those are moments where we had an opportunity to build character, or you know, do the right thing as a response, or really learn about ourselves. Those are the moments like that really build us up, I think, if we can process them, if we can digest them,
right?
And then if we can learn from them and maybe do things differently going forward. But there are opportunities, really.
Yeah. No, I think that what you said about being able to digest these things that happen in our lives or things that come up is really important. I think being able to have a mistake or something that goes wrong without that catharsis is just going to resonate in your body, and it's just going to create a lot of unhappiness, and even, you know, like you might hold resentments or something else might come up because of you not being able to digest these things.
Well, it just makes us more real.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Even in connecting with other people, when they have the opportunity to share something that they've experienced in that way, that brings us closer to them. Someone who's standing there telling you how perfect they are and everything that they've got going for them and all the things that are just right about them, it's great to hear it. It's really, sure, you know, good for fucking you. Yeah, right. Bleep. But when someone tells you explicit about something that they've, like, you know, overcome and a challenge that they were faced with, or something that shows you their beautiful humanness, you lean in. I lean in.
I do.
I'm like, oh yeah, okay, we are sisters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So amen for the quote unquote failures.
Cool. Yeah. Yes. Please. If you have a failure and you want to change your thought process around it, give me a call. I will help you, because that is not allowed. All right, Jill, closing thoughts here. I don't want you to leave yet, so I'm going to try and make something up. Okay, yes. So, yeah, closing thoughts. Tell me.
Oh, I'm getting nervous. Oh, no. You just said it was explicit.
Well, it is, because we can curse and stuff.
It's an adult-only channel.
Adult-only channel, right. Just wait. We're going to have your hubby in soon.
I know.
We're going to talk to Jill in a after the break. We're going to talk to Jill and her hubby about relationships.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be exciting. I guess, you know, just having you on here, I not only for my personal pleasure, but also for the listening pleasure of the people out there listening. And this podcast is meant to provide information or give people a sense of encouragement mm-hmm. to do something, or, you know, feel confident enough to just continue to live their journey. What sort of advice would you give our listeners to continue to live authentically, or to begin to live authentically?
Well, the word that keeps coming to my mind is acceptance. And I think that accepting ourselves as we are is sometimes challenging to do. And then we can often project that. And so we get into this space of judgment. And so it's something that I'm actually working on personally a lot right now, but it's accepting that I am perfect in all of my perceived imperfections, right? And that I, you know, it was part of the workshop event that you came to the other night, just that idea of soham, I am that, or tatwamasi, thou art that, that we are all part of this whole together. And when we can do that, I heard a quote the other day that was, you can trust people 100% of the time to be exactly who they are. And it's this idea of like, oh God, you know, we have to accept people as they are. We have to accept ourselves as we are, or we'll suffer, right? So maybe an indirect way of answering that, but I think it starts with self-acceptance, self-exploration, and accepting as a whole.
Jill, as usual, you're amazing. Stay tuned, because in a moment we're going to talk to Jill and her hubby about how to create an amazing relationship.
Thanks for having me, Rosie. I love you.
I love you too. We were talking about yoga and things that couples do together, or things that couples should do together. And Tori was talking about how he doesn't ever do yoga, and, you know, whatever, and it's fine, and we have a great relationship. He doesn't have to do yoga just because I teach yoga, but, you know, if he feels like it, he'll come to a class.
I love yoga.
He loves yoga, but
it's
he'll...
It's not part of my lifestyle.
It's not part of his lifestyle, but he'll only come to yoga if you're teaching yoga.
Yeah, I think I did say that.
He did.
I was like, I'd love to go to Jill's class.
I'm so flattered.
So, Jill, you're just going to have to teach 5 days a week so that Tori can go do yoga.
For Tori, I'll do it. Yeah.
Here we are again. Welcome to the studio, Michael Naus. I need to get like a
yeah,
little...
Yeah, you need a...
Where do I get that?
Applause track.
Applause track.
Yeah.
Is there like a keyboard I can buy with those?
I'm sure there's an app for
that. Oh,
there's
an app. And then I can just hold the app up to the microphone. I wanted to talk to you guys because I feel like you guys are an amazing couple. And I want to know how that happens. Well, I mean, first of all,
that's a loaded question.
I'm like, how does this happen?
We actually had a list. We both had a list. We were at that point in our lives. It's geeky, right? We're on like date number two, because we'd both been through relationships before. And so we were pretty clear. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. We met through yoga, So, you know, guys, if you're looking for lovely ladies, I'm just kidding.
Go to yoga class.
I'm not going to go down that creepy path.
Maybe that's why Tori wants to go to your classes, Jill.
Now, I'd started taking yoga. I moved back to Portland, and I'd started taking yoga, and I would go to Jill's class, but I was, like, super focused when I would go to yoga class. I was, like, I'd roll out my mat, I would do my yoga, and then I was out, and I loved Jill's class, but there was never, like, a spark. I mean, I'm a guy, right? So I'd be like, oh, yeah, she's probably married or has a boyfriend or something.
Something.
But... There was nothing weird about like anything. And then we took a boot camp together. I signed up for boot camp. I didn't know she was going to be there. And she was like kind of a, what were you doing? What was your role in the boot camp?
Oh, I think I taught a couple of the sculpt classes, but I was kind of like participating. I was doing everything with everybody each day and kind of keeping like the energy high. You know, I was just kind of running around and doing all the workouts with them. So it was like 6 a.m. and not glamorous at all, right? You know, 6 a.m., hair pulled back, no makeup, no shower, you know, and we were just jumping around like freaks. So it was perfect way to meet a guy.
So this was a 2-week boot camp. It's 6 a.m. in the morning, 5-6 days a week. And we just started laughing together and having fun. And I had that, you know, question in my mind. I was like,
You're like, what's going on here? Is she like laughing with me? Like,
what? Is she laughing at me?
Is she laughing at me? Like, is she like, would she want to marry me?
So funny.
Yeah. So, you know, I did my best to play it cool until at least the end of those 2 weeks. And then on the final day of boot camp, like I kind of had to know where things were, like what was going on.
Yeah, where were you?
Yeah, and so everybody was in the lobby of this yoga studio saying goodbyes, and Jill was over there surrounded by all these people. So I was like, oh, we'll figure it out later. And I walked out, and I didn't know that she saw me walk out.
I saw him walk out. I was crestfallen that he was leaving. I was like, well, there he goes.
And it was the weirdest thing. It was like I flipped around in the middle of the street. She had her tractor beam on me. Now I know. She pulled me back in. And I just walked. It was the craziest clear thing in the world. I just walked back in and I gave her a big hug. And I said, it was so great to spend these 2 weeks with you and get to know you a little bit. And that was really it. I didn't ask her out or anything because I was still wrestling with how that works. You know, I mean, she's a yoga teacher. I go to her class. I don't want to be that guy. So by the time I got home, I had a little Facebook message from her that was like super flirty.
Oh boy.
Oh goodness. Please share. Tell me you took a screenshot of it so I can post it.
Really fun meeting you in boot camp. Hope to see you around.
Are you serious? Oh, you boys skew things all the time, don't you?
So I immediately said, hey, we should grab a glass of wine sometime. Yeah, and she was like, well, I'm doing a cleanse for the next, what, week, 2 weeks?
2 weeks or something, yeah.
I was like, okay, either I'm getting blown off or she's really doing a cleanse. So we set a date, and we went on that date, and it was like one of those dinners where it's 4 hours, and the valet's like, come get your goddamn car because we want to go home. Right?
Yeah.
And it seriously, ever since, it's been like we've been together.
Aww. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. How long ago was that?
It's about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. 6 years ago.
Yeah. I love it when you talk about it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, both of us had been, like Michael mentioned, we were actually both married before, and I spent probably most of my 30s in that dating world, and like I had a couple of longer term relationships, but it, you know, as we talked about in our earlier podcast or the other one. Oh, I probably should, you'll have to.
No,
edit
that it's out. Fine. No, it's okay. No, because we're on right after.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
So in the other podcast, I started really living for myself and listening to my intuition, and this is what brought me up to Portland, and not waiting for things. I think for a while I was down in San Francisco figuring, well, I'll do what I want to do when I meet the right guy and this and that. And instead of doing that, it was like, I'm making some changes that are really for me, to find that sort of integrated whole self as I am. And that led me to Portland, led me to switching kind of careers and stuff. And I honestly believe it led me to being ready for, the relationship with Michael when I did meet him. 'Cause it was like, I felt like a whole being and I could be a better partner with him. And so when we did meet, and I feel like he had already done a lot of his own work as well, like we were just ready for it. And we were super open. Like he referred to the lists. Like a couple weeks into dating, we shared that not only did we know what we didn't want, but we had gotten really clear on what we did want. And so we had written it down. And we both had carried it around. Like I had mine in my wallet. He had his somewhere that was, you know, close to him. And so a couple weeks in, we shared that with each other. Like, yeah. And in the end, it turned out to be part of our vows. And like, it was really, you know, it was significant to us that we were at that stage. So, yeah.
That's
all
really
good
sweet.
And fun. But, you know, we had kind of the path to get there because we didn't meet until we were, you know, 40, 39, 40.
So be clear.
Be clear.
Don't just know what you don't want. Because usually if you focus a lot on what you don't want, you get that.
That's for sure. So that's really great. And so tell me now, 6 years later, what's the dynamic like in the relationship? What do you think creates a healthy relationship? Like what works in your relationships now that didn't work in the past? And you guys can both speak to this because you've both been in past marriages. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, now it's a recognition that our relationship is the foundation for everything else. So with this in place, it makes everything else better. Not in a way that like I need this for everything to be great in my life, but I just see it as that foundation. And we both treat it as that and give it that respect that with this, that everything else can fall into place more easily around business, around, you know, lots of things. Yeah.
And I think because we both have our own businesses and we're both entrepreneurs, we don't have a normal like schedule or, you know, yearly cycle. Like it's cyclical and not always synced up. 'Cause he's got what he's got going on and I've got what I've got going on and they don't always match. And sometimes they're the opposite. And so we're really aware of those times where we get pulled in opposite directions at opposite times. And we really look for where that endpoint is and design an endpoint if we can't see one in sight so that there's time to pull away and reconnect. Because I think that it's pretty easy when you're busy and you know, doing things, without a lot of structure. I mean, there's structure. We're not totally chaotic, but to design in time to come back together because we do get really busy and stuff. And so, you know, like at the end of my teacher training program in December, we knew like I was going to be slammed all the way up until then. And he had so much going on and I was gone nights and he was busy days. And like, it was just totally opposite. And so as soon as that ended, like the very next day we went and pulled away with the dog and went up to the mountains and just like sort of hold up and, you know, just reconnected. So we design times like that to make sure that if we do feel like the thread gets thin, it comes back in full force, you know?
Yeah, I think that it's, I want to talk about that because it happens in relationship, mm-hmm. right? That thread, it starts to thin, right? Mm-hmm. You don't spend enough time. I mean, Tori and I get that too all the time. We're both also entrepreneurs. We're both self-employed. And so we're both workaholics, you know? And
you
so,
love what you do,
yeah.
So you do it all the
so
time.
So it's just like, I can do it. I'll do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know? Mm-hmm. And we get those moments where it's like so busy. And I realize I'm like, wow, I've not actually seen, we sleep on the same bed. That's about it,
yeah.
You know? Like, I've not actually spent any real quality time. And so you start to feel, right, that tension begins to build, and you start to kind of feel this thing that happens where it's like, okay, something's not right. It feels like there's this, like, we need to be able to reconnect and to be able to set that time to do that or to acknowledge that that's what is going on is really important, I think,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah. She'll actually, like, calm me out a little bit.
I'm pretty intuitive and I also sensitive, you know, like, sorry, baby. But I can feel it like right away when things are slightly amiss, and I don't usually let it go. Or yes, again, sorry. But I just, like, I'll go right at it and have a conversation about it because it's super important to me that
I can totally see you know, doing that too.
Like I hope I'm sweet and sensitive and kind about it, but it's like, you know, what's up?
She's like, how we doing? So how we doing?
How we doing right now?
Yeah, totally. We're doing great. Why?
Look me in the eyeballs.
Yeah. And she's like, no, how we really doing? And I'm like, oh.
Oh, that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you got to shake it off, you know, and come back. Yeah, because we get so caught up and get very heady. Mm-hmm. And we got to drop back into the body and, like, really be there. Yeah.
So, and do you guys work together? I know that you guys do projects and you guys have done conferences and stuff together. Mm-hmm. Michael, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am a startup coach. And I work with people that have been in business typically like 1 to 4 years, who've got their thing off the ground. They sold some stuff, like they know what they want to do, but they don't have any strategy in their business. They want to take it to the next level. They want to go to the next place. And so I coach them through that process and help them expand their business exponentially, usually. So that's kind of my sweet spot and where I really love working with people.
And you guys have done stuff together. So how is it working together?
It's great. That's for me, that's one of like the benefits of a relationship, is that we do very different things, but we have this, like, we've recognized this crossover space where we can kind of play together. And I use that word play intentionally because it feels like play. Like, it's, yes, it's business and we're working with people, but I've had the opportunity to where she invites me into her teacher training program and her Elevate mentorship program.
It started when I was asked to present something on the business of yoga at the Northwest Yoga Conference. And as a business coach, I thought with the experiences that I've had and like actually putting the plan in action and having the accomplishments and sort of the successes that I've had in the projects that I've created and brought to fruition and like all of that, Michael could put some structure behind that. And so and he's a wonderful presenter. And the last thing I really want to do is like present. It's not my favorite thing. It's so hard for me. I get terrified. But anyway, so for various reasons, I was like, this could be much more impactful for the participants if Michael is a part of it. And so we can go through my timeline and kind of share what I've done and how I've done it and where I've made mistakes and how things you can avoid and all of that, but also talk about the bigger picture of business. And so we thought it would be a great thing. And so I invited him in to do that presentation with me, and it was a great success. We had probably 50 people in attendance, and we didn't get to all the material we wanted, and so we said we were going to do a follow-up webinar, and like 48 of the 50 signed up to do the webinar and wanted to participate in that. And then we followed that up with some presentations Michael did on the business of yoga with me and with my experience kind of weaved in a couple of times with Elevate and the teacher training. And then we also did an online program called Elevate Your Yoga Business that was directed towards yoga teachers. And that was like a 6-week online program where we could access people all over the world. And we had a really good turnout for that. And people had some great success with it and are doing pretty cool things out in the world with just a little bit of guidance and coaching. And so it's been really fun. We have a good time doing it. And just hole up in his office and
yeah, just work laugh together. And, yeah,
yeah, we go have into a the good cave. Time. Yeah,
there were moments though. There were moments. Like if we want to like be brutally like
please
honest,
do. Tori like, and I just like, bantered for an
there's
hour.
There's moments where I would like cut her off in the webinar because I just had something to say and I didn't mean it like that, and she'd look at me like. Like that look, right?
Well, I didn't just look at him. I give him an elbow to the gut.
And then afterwards, of course, there is the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of that's the beauty and the curse, right? Is that you know, if it's just two people who work together, maybe they'd be biting their tongue or there'd be this, like, I get to just say, like, that kind of hurt my feelings. And then we just air it out. And then it's like, oh, okay. And same, you know, but it goes both ways. And we were able to just kind of address it. And
well, I think that that's...
Address it again.
And address it again. And again.
Address it again.
And again. And again. And again. And then, like, 6 months later, bring it up again and be like, that one time you interrupted me and I said, if you ever did it again. Yeah. No, that's good. I think that, Michael, to just add on to what you're saying about clarity, I mean, that's really what you're saying. And as far as the dynamic of your relationship together is that you guys are both obviously, you know, experienced in communication and being able to be clear with each other and telling each other what each of you need at that particular time and being open and honest with each other. I think that that's a huge key. What sort of advice would you give to our single friends out there that are looking for that kind of substantial relationship or something that actually has meaning, where it's like, you know, nowadays people just meet each other on these apps and like there's no real way of knowing, wow, do I really connect with this person? Is there something of value here? And not even that, I want to go one step further and just because we know that's not about that. It's really about what you're looking for. Like, what do you want is the most important question, right? It's like, what exactly do you want, first of all? Mm-hmm. And then how are you putting that out there in the world, right? Like, how are you putting that out there in the world to reciprocate what you're wanting, right? So what do you think that, you know, in this day and age with all the stuff, with all the apps and the things that are out there that are kind of creating all of this mental garbage for people and it's not even allowing them to decipher like what's what.
Yeah, it's hard because you really can only control yourself, and so the other people that are out there also being bombarded with this, and so it sometimes can shrink the pool a little bit, right? In terms of the like what's really out there and ready.
I would say, and this is based on where I was when we met, I was really focused on creating a life for myself where I loved every aspect of it so much that I didn't really, and this sounds a little bit weird maybe, but it wasn't from a super selfish reason. I just knew that I would open myself up for the best relationship by being in the best relationship with myself. And so I was preparing to meet someone with that foundation because I had done it differently before. And so I was consciously making that adjustment in my life. So that's my like number one baseline. It's kind of a generic recommendation, but it's so important, I think, to get use whatever practices, could be yoga, could be meditation, to spend time in a little bit of reflection and getting your life to a point where it's like you're pretty damn happy with it, with or without someone, so that when you choose to create and invite someone in, that they're like walking into a palace. Like, it's, damn, I want to be here, right? And that goes both ways, too.
Yeah, and I think that we had, like, it was meant to be in that sense, like, because we were both in that space. And that doesn't always happen. And you have to be willing to let go when you meet up with that someone that's just not in that space and move on, right? Because you know and you're clear about what you want to align with. And so you, I mean, maybe that person will come back at some point. You know, you feel like they're the right person, but just to be clear and to really honor that which you value. Yeah.
This was pre-Tinder.
Yeah, it was pre-Tinder.
Well, that
it wasn't pre any of those others, Matt.
Yeah, no, there was all these other, and look, I have a lot of great friends that have gotten married because they've met through these, you know, services that are out there, and I think it's great. I think that there could be a better service out there that could touch a little bit more in depth to connect people, but maybe somebody out there will come up with an app like mm-hmm. that. But I think that, you know, what you're saying as far as being really clear and being able to kind of really tune into that deep listening is what you're saying, right? It's like, listen to that. I think that a lot of people will make the mistake of staying in a relationship or meeting somebody that may not be their best match because they have fear, right? It's like, oh, maybe this is as good as it gets, mm-hmm. or I'm afraid of being alone again. Like, I'm just going to look past all of these red flags and just continue to be with this person, even though internally my heart is saying, this is not okay or this is not right. Like, I think that it's important for everyone to operate from a place of not having that fear. And it's what, Michael, what you're saying about, like, just being your best self, right? And being a little bit selfish, you know? And I'm okay with saying that, you know, because I think that I wouldn't be in the relationship that I'm in now if I wasn't a little bit selfish, you know, because I think him and I have created this life together because we're both really committed to our own self-evolution, and right. we're also committed to the evolution as a unit, right? But there's always that sort of, that's that number one step. You know, I'm like, I hate to sound like this, but like I say it to him and I don't mean to say it as a slide. I just am like, I am happy with the person that I am today. If I didn't have him in my life, if something happened, I know I would be okay because I know who I am. Do I want to live a life without him? No. I hope that we have a happy ever after together. But I'm also a realist, and I'm aware that if I don't continue my own practices and continue to kind of nurture that relationship with myself, that things can go horribly awry. And if things don't work out, then there's something at the end that's not so good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's so well said. Yeah.
Really? I just made that up. I read it off the cue card.
I remember somebody said something to me before I met Jill. And it was along the lines of, never be in relationship because, like, you need someone or need something. And I guess the essence of that always stuck with me. Because when I met Jill, it felt like really like this, the energy was clean. In other words, I wanted to be with her and she wanted to be with me, but there was no like neediness or attachment to it. And I think it's honestly like hard to keep that out all the time because you get very attached to like certain patterns and ways of being with one another and so forth. But that was something I was really conscious of before we met, actually. That is, I think, could be transformative in the way that you would approach a relationship.
And I think we still maintain a degree of independence. You know, we still explore the, like you said, the practices that serve us each independently. And a lot of times they overlap, like we'll go to yoga together, or we'll go to burn cycle together, we'll ski together, or he'll ski with his buddies because he's kind of a badass. But you know what I mean? Like sometimes it's like, sometimes it overlaps and sometimes it doesn't. Just this Christmas, we actually spent 2 weeks apart for the first time because, you know, I was doing a training in India and we kind of had to divide and conquer. So so we're still exploring our own independent ventures, you know, and I think that that's really important too because it's just a healthy balance.
Yeah. And we have, did you tell her about the cave?
No, I didn't tell her about the cave yet.
Whoa. What? tell me. Do I want to know about the cave?
I don't know.
Tell me about it.
It's stupid, actually, but it's so fun.
Tell me.
We create space, and it's not like on a schedule or anything. But
you have to edit it.
Yeah. Where we just...
Am I scared? I'm scared.
It's like this. It's like this time where, like, we don't censor anything. And we just, like, pretty much... say whatever and laugh and it's hilarious. And be funny.
It's hilarious to us, but we'd probably be put in padded rooms if anyone else was in there.
It's just like the biggest dork fest ever. And it's a combination of just being silly and honest and whatever. And we create space for that. And this happened accidentally just by, we were riffing one day and just being stupid and silly. And we're like, we just gave it the name, The Cave. And it's our.
No one can know about it. And now we're
broadcasting. Now you're broadcasting it. Don't worry. No one's listening to us.
But I think that's another thing that keeps us really like close is that we don't have to be or perform or, you know, I mean, we get to share honestly and be ridiculous and emotional and, you know, we get to have all of it. And that's all, again, that transparency and authenticity is real in the
just
cave.
Looping it back.
It's real in the cave.
Yeah. So that's our time. Wow. Will you guys come back and do this again?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, I would love to have you guys again. Thank you so much for being here and doing this with me and allowing the listeners in to your lives. Because now we all know about the cave.
People are going to come over and they're going to be like,
so where's the cave? I want to know. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming and for being here, and I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Rosie. Thanks for doing this show. It's an inspiration for us to see you taking this role, and it's a leadership position to grow the community. It's awesome. It's great. I get behind projects and like this because I think that the more people that do this, the better off we all are, and the more we lift each other up and support each other. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Radically Loved Radio. For more information, you can go to radicallyloved.com. You can follow me on all the social media outlets, Instagram at Rosie Acosta, Twitter at Rosie Acosta, Love Radically on Facebook. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other things that I'm not mentioning, but I'm sure you will find them if you're looking for them. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.